Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning will be taken from 1 John chapter 3, and we'll be reading from verse 11 through verse 24. Again, continuing through this letter as we have been doing now for the last several Sundays, we'll be looking at the third chapter of 1 John, 1 John 3, and read from verse 11 this morning. And we'll read then as follows in the name of our Lord. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we're thankful again this morning for the message of your scriptures, the message of your word. And we do pray, Father, that again this morning you would make this evident and plain for each one of us who have gathered here. So, Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have noticed that as Nate finished the reading that he read for us out of John chapter 15, that again Christ had addressed his disciples. And of course, that's one long address that he makes there. But he makes this statement again: this is my commandment, that you love one another. And I don't really want to belabor the point of love this morning, and probably more I want to talk about our hearts, you know, because we often kind of connect the two. We talk about love and we talk about heart, and however that begins to look for us, we then come up with a definition of what that's all about. And I think very often what takes place for us is we are then skewed very often in our definition making of certain terms that we use perhaps on a daily basis. So the term, heart, what does heart really mean? When the scripture talks about the heart of man, exactly what are we talking about, or what is going through our mind as we consider that? And as we consider love, what exactly is love for us? And I think I spent some time already talking about love as we've gone through this letter thus far. The love of God is best perceived, as you heard read for you out of this chapter, the love of God is perceived by looking to His Son. For this is how we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. But the interesting thing is that most of us who gather in this building this morning, I think, are quite familiar with that. Perhaps we hear that enough times that we almost become sort of bored with that. You know, well, we know that already. This is how we know that God loves us. We look at the cross, we see the work that was done there on the cross, and we recognize that God did this because He loved us. But the message that comes forth from John's letter here is not just written for that standpoint. Of course, that it's of utmost importance that you would understand that, but also the flip side of that is you would now understand what it means for you now to love others. How do I go about loving other people? What exactly is my motive, or what really causes me to have love for someone? The scripture actually tells us that we in and of ourselves are incapable of loving. You see, because from the heart is kind of understood in this way within the scriptures. The heart, actually, not even within the scriptures, but within the definition. If you were to look up heart in the dictionary, of course, you'd first find the heart that's pumping within our members that keeps the blood flowing through our body. But that's not what we're talking about when we talk about heart, as far as what we read of in the scriptures. Or, you know, I love you from the bottom of my heart. We're not talking about this organ that's in my chest pumping blood around my body so that I'm able to stand up here this morning and actually move around a little bit and speak. No, the love that we, or the heart that we talk about, is this thing that we sometimes refer to as personality. It's from this deep-seated innerness, and I don't even know if that's the best way to really describe it, that we now have volition, we have will, we have our intuition, we have all of these things that we understand that come from our heart. So in other words, one way of describing this would be when you feel for someone. So someone comes to you and they tell you some tragic news and you ache within your heart, you would say. Now, that doesn't mean that your heart, your organ, aches. No, this is coming from your innermost being. But what does the scripture say about our heart? Not very nice stuff. Jeremiah chapter 17, I'll read that for you. I mean, you're probably familiar with this anyway, but I'm going to read it for you. The heart is deceitful above all things. Jeremiah 17, 9, if you're turning there. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, what I want to point out for you this morning, when we begin to talk about heart, is this idea now that we need to understand that our hearts needed to be changed. And for you young people this morning, there's this comment, or this common dialogue that takes place out there in the world, so to speak, that says, well, you know, follow your heart. Follow your heart. Well, do you really want to do that? Well, what's your heart really telling you? You just need to follow your heart. If your heart says this is good, well, then it must be good. So why don't you just go along and follow your heart? And there's nothing that is further from the truth of the scripture. Because your heart, my friends, the scripture tells us, apart from Christ, is desperately wicked and deceitful. And in fact, our own hearts will deceive us. That's what deceitful means. So please do not listen to the voices out there that tell you, well, if your heart says it's good, it must be good. That's a lie. Listen to me again. If your heart tells you it's good, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is good. There are people out there all over in this world who will tell you to do certain things, to walk certain ways, and do it because that's what your heart is telling you to do. And that is wrong. Did you get that? That is wrong. Our hearts, my friends, needed to be changed. And our hearts are only right when they are right with God. It is the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit that speaks unto us, that guides us and directs us in our lives. It is the Word of God. It is never my own volition or will or heart. It can only be that when my heart is changed. That's what Jeremiah is saying when he says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you can read the news, you can watch the news, however you take news in the world, and you will see what I'm talking about. There are people out there everywhere doing all kinds of awful things. Why? Because their heart is deceitful and wicked. And they do these things. The scripture says that we need a change of heart. Ezekiel 36, actually, Jeremiah actually talks about this as well, where he talks about now God coming in and changing our hearts. And he reads in out of chapter 31, and I'm just going to paraphrase it because it's a longer section here, but basically he says this: God is going to take and write his law on your inward parts. God is going to come in and change your heart. And in Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel actually gives a little description of this. And I'll turn there. Verses 25 and 26. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. You see, when the psalmist writes about the heart, in many different ways, but he always says something very interesting as he writes about it. He says, first of all, and one of the things, he says, I need you to search me, O God, and try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and that goes on from there, and purge me from these things. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The Lord looks on the heart. He sees into the depths of our souls. I think you're getting the picture. I hope you are. The heart, my friends, is what needed to be changed. And this is exactly what takes place for us. This is what we really look at. I wanted to bring that out simply because of what we read further on into our text this morning, where we talk about the heart. And we'll talk about it again as we get closer to this. But first of all, I want to point out to you, in the first few verses that we read this morning, you notice again the message of loving one another. And then he brings out the picture, if you will, of Cain and Abel. He says, not like Cain, who slew his brother. Well, why did he kill his brother? Because his deeds were wicked and his brother's were righteous. What was the difference between Cain and Abel? What is the difference between you who are gathered here this morning who are found in Christ, and those who are wherever who are not found in Christ. It's your heart. You have been changed. No longer do you carry a stony heart, because God has cleansed you and made you clean. He has purified you. He has changed you as a person. Listen to this definition of the heart: the center of the total personality, especially with reference to intuition, feeling, or emotion. And so he says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Whoever hateth, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." What is the problem here? Or what is the main issue that takes place between men, between people, maybe I should say, within this world, or even within the church? It's a lack of love. That's why Christ, when he ministered unto his disciples, told them, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Not because, you know, you like them as a person or in their personality, you like how they look, whatever else it might be, you like hanging out with them. No, you love them. Why? Because this is what you are called to do as a person who has now a changed heart. You see, that doesn't line up with worldly thinking. That doesn't line up with human reasoning. Human reasoning says, I will gather all the people around me who tell me all of the things that I like to hear, and I will hang out with them, and they will build me up and make me into something that perhaps I am absolutely not. But you know, it makes me feel good, so therefore it must be good. But Christ comes along and loves sinners. He loves people whose hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Why? Why would he do that? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We who this morning can acknowledge that this is the way it would be for us outside of Christ. Our hearts would be deceitful and desperately wicked. And who could ever describe those things? We who in our lives as sinners walking in this world recognize that that old man still hangs there, still clings to us in a certain sense, and causes us to doubt and to fear and to go off, as it were, into sin and to do all kinds of manner of things that are not according to the Word. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Do you understand that this morning? Do you understand a God who could love to such a degree that he could take people whose thoughts and intents were only evil continually and change them? There's no love that can ever compare to that. How is it going to work out for you if you go out into this world and you begin to try to love people, or even within wherever that might be, and every time you try to love them, they simply just speak bad things to you. They completely demoralize you. They wipe out your character. They do whatever they do. They don't even have to physically beat you. But they speak evil of you continually, and they do all of these things. Is it easy for you to love them? You see, this is what we're talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, I love you, I love you, I love you, and all of these nice, wonderful things that we talk about just within family or within people that we like or something like that. No, we are called to love people in spite of who they are. Why? Because we are now the ambassadors of Christ in this world. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And then he says, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. And he describes this for us in verse 17 and 18. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How can I do that? Does that mean that simply if someone shows up at my door and needs 20 bucks, I give them 20 bucks? Woohoo, kudos for me. God's well pleased with me now. No, he says this love that you have stems back from the change that has been made for you as a person. You have been born of God. You notice, and I made this mention last Sunday, we take this letter in its entirety. He says, beloved, you have been born of God. You are the sons of God. You are the children of God. And now you understand the love that he has for you. He made you his children by the sacrifice of his son, and calls you now to love others around you. And to demonstrate this, actually, very much according to what James says. Indeed, and in truth. Yes, that might mean actually that you got to give somebody 20 bucks. But it means that your love isn't a fakey love either. You don't do this to gain merit. You do this because this is who you are. This is who you are now as a child of God. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And now we get into the hearts again. It's always been about the heart. But he says, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For, notice, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. In other words, if you're in the audience this morning and for some reason or whatever, you're going through a struggle in your life and your heart at this very moment is not telling you that God is pleased with you. In fact, your heart is condemning you. John reassures you this morning through his word, God is greater than your heart. It's not just simply because I feel good about something, or I feel this, or I feel that. It's not about feelings at all. It's simply about what the Scripture declares. You do need a change of heart, but guess what? As you walk through this world, you understand that you are sinner/saint, and because of that, you deal with a heart that sometimes doesn't tell you the truth. Your heart condemns you. But the scripture tells you this morning that God is greater than your heart. You see, this is why I make this point this morning. We cannot simply trust our hearts. I can't just simply say, I will follow my heart. I can't follow my heart. I need to follow the one who leads me and guides me into truth and righteousness. And that is none other than Jesus the Christ. If your heart condemns you, he says, God is greater than your heart. So take joy. This morning, if your heart is condemning you, but you believe, then you understand God is greater than that heart and knows all things. He has cleaned you up. You are his own. If you are a confessor of Jesus Christ this morning, you have been made clean. It doesn't matter what your heart is saying at this moment. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not. You see, this is what I love about this passage. He gives you both sides of it. If your heart is condemning you this morning, well, God's greater than your heart. But if your heart's not condemning you, well, then praise the Lord. Because you have confidence toward God. You know this morning that what God has done for you is in fact enough. He has changed you. He has made you into his child. All of this really builds here. And this is why I say it's difficult at times to simply preach a few verses out of a letter. You need to see it from its beginning to its end. You understand all of that we have talked about in the last few Sundays. This has taken place for you. You, though a sinner, have been changed. You have been washed. You have been made clean. God has changed your heart. He has taken that stony heart out of there and put in a heart of flesh. But sometimes we just don't believe that. That's really what he tells you. Sometimes we don't believe that. And we begin to listen to our heart again as it condemns us and says, aha, look what you did the other day. Look how you're feeling toward a certain brother or sister in Christ. And our heart begins to condemn us. God is greater than your heart and knows all things. He says, going on here, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. How? By our identity change. Because of who we are now as the children of God. And because of our union with Jesus the Christ. We abide in him, the scripture tells us. And so he says, and this is his commandment. And don't you just love this? This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another. Please, don't let anybody tell you just believing is not enough. The scripture tells us, Paul, when he writes to the Romans, says this is what takes place. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, no one can confess that Jesus is the Son of God apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Why do we take that away from people? Why do we try to undermine what the scripture says? It says, if you believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another, this is what you are commanded to do. But it's too easy for us. Like I said last Sunday, the grace of God is difficult for us to comprehend or understand. Because that's all I have to do is believe. There's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be something more to than just believing. No, you are a child of God this morning. You have been changed by the Holy Spirit of God. He calls you his child and calls on you this morning to believe. I am not speaking to a church full of unbelievers, am I? I'm speaking to believers who know and understand the grace of God, but yet find in their hearts that sometimes their heart will condemn them. And I'm telling you this morning, by the authority of the Scripture, the Bible itself, that this is what the Scripture says. God is greater than your heart and commands you to believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. This is our only option, my friends. There is no other option. If one is to see God, one needs to know his Son. And yes, one comes to his Son by the way of the cross and all of that. But this morning, we're simply talking to believers. Please hear me. This is what you are to do. This is your command. And it's not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. Why? Because I abide now in his Son. I believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. And I love. Why do I love? Because God first loved me, giving me now the ability to love you. Otherwise, I simply love me. Because I make myself into God. So he says, this is his command, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. How? By the Spirit which he hath given us. It is the Holy Spirit of God who works this out in our lives so that we are able to understand. It is not because of my heart. It is not because of my human intellect or reason. It is none of those things. Because the Scripture already told me, my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then the Scripture gives me the answer. God is able to clean up my desperately wicked and evil heart. How? By the shedding of the blood of his Son, which now marks my heart as cleansed and clean, and declares unto me that in fact I am holy and righteous and good. Why? Because I have now found united to his Son. And his Son told me in John chapters 15, 14 and 15, that he will send his Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, who will now indwell me and who will reassure me of these things and give me the ability now to bring this to others so that they would be able to understand as well. Romans 10:9, and I'll close with that. Going back again to this believing system. You're familiar with this, perhaps. But just backing up, I don't even know if this is a good way to say this, but just backing up John with Paul. Just looking at the Scripture in its entirety, at least on this particular teaching. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they be preached except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. For in spite of ourselves, Father, in spite of our inability very often to understand, yet your word speaks to us. For truly, Father, you have chosen this method, you have chosen this way to bring on to us, your people, the message that you would have us to hear. So help us, Father, as we live out our lives in this world to continue to follow what your word says in regards to who we are. And help us then to minister unto others. Help us to love as you loved. And help us to believe, Father, as you give us commandment, that we would believe on the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And Father, be with all who are gathered here this morning. Those who perhaps are dealing with a heart that's condemning them, we pray, Father, that they would be aware of your grace, that they would understand the forgiveness of their sins and the work of your Son. And be with those today who have confidence. Father, give them more so that they can live out their lives in this world with boldness, declaring your gospel to whomever and whoever they meet. For we ask it for the sake of your Son and in his holy name. And Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.